Hello, everyone, and welcome to this podcast. My name is Dr. Sarah Davis. I am a GP in Cardiff, and I have a special interest in diabetes. And I am overjoyed today to be joined by Dr. Kashif Ali, who is GP in Glasgow. Welcome, Kashif. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you very much, Sarah. So thank you for your kind introduction. I'm Kashif Ali. I'm a GP in Glasgow. And like yourself, I have an interest in diabetes, but also obesity. And I'm the primary care lead for the Diabetes Clinical Network here in Greater Glasgow and Clyde.
Fabulous. Okay, so this podcast comes to you as part of Chronic Conditions Month 2023, which is taking place throughout May. This includes a whole string of interactive and informative webinars designed to address the primary care challenges of diagnosing and managing chronic conditions across a range of therapeutic areas. So today in this podcast, Kash and myself are going to be discussing an approach, I suppose, to the management of obesity in primary care. And this is a real hot topic, Kash, isn't it? You know, as we sort of are understanding about the complexities of obesity, its causation, its management starts to evolve. And also an awareness, I suppose, of the value in managing obesity effectively across the whole healthcare system as well as to individuals. And I think we can all say it's a real hot topic at the moment in terms of the medication as well, as we're hearing more and more about medications we may be able to now use to help the management of obesity, such as these high-dose GLP-1 receptor agonists that we've been hearing so much about in the media and beyond. So I thought we might tackle a few of these issues and utilise some of your expertise and just have a chat amongst ourselves about all this, really. I suppose really, you know, from our primary care perspective, both of us entirely primary care focused in our work day. So how do you feel the primary care role for the management of obesity really fits?
You know, thank you, Sarah. I think that's a really important starting point. Both of us are GPs and we will see many patients affected with obesity in our daily routines. And a lot of our colleagues will have the same scenarios in front of them each day. So I think certainly from our perspective, one of the most important roles is to help identify and diagnose patients with obesity. So recording weights, BMI, using other parameters like waist circumference are really important. I think it's really important for us also to be able to signpost patients to appropriate treatments. And these, by and large, are, you know, most effectively are going to be lifestyle treatments. And that could be dietitian input, that could also be exercise referral schemes, or even referral to a weight management service. Equally, I think it's really important we don't forget about the comorbidities that people will have with obesity. And as we mentioned, we both have an interest in diabetes, and there will also be other diseases like cardiovascular disease and osteoarthritis or gastrointestinal problems that we will have to manage as well. But above all, I think the most important aspect of our role is to support and follow up our patients and recognize, as you quite rightly said, this is a chronic disease that needs long-term follow-up.
Yeah, I think that's quite a new concept to people maybe in general, that obesity itself can be seen as a chronic disease. And that really comes around our understanding about how actually the cause of obesity is perhaps much more complex than maybe we were all assumed to believe earlier on. Is that right, Kash? Tell us a bit more about how we're starting to understand around the complexities.
Absolutely. And this is a new concept really in the last few years since the advent of these new medications that have become increasingly popular and very effective in managing diabetes and obesity. So yes, we do know that obesity is a chronic disease in that many people who are affected by obesity will have to live with this, and they will have, like any other chronic disease, they will have periods where they will do very well and you can see that their condition is being treated, and there will be other periods where their condition will get worse, like it does with most other chronic diseases. We know through many of the follow-up studies of people who have undergone bariatric surgery that obesity can recur. So that, again, equally does highlight the need to follow these patients up. And it's a different mindset. I certainly, when I qualified in the early 2000s, the obesity was still thought of as a public health problem, and also most likely a lifestyle problem. And many of my trainers in that generation would be quite dismissive of patients. And so I think that's a really important point, that there's been a sea change now, certainly amongst those who treat obesity, that this is a really important long-term chronic disease that does need appropriate follow-up, and in most cases, multidisciplinary approach.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it is vital that we spread that word about the understanding of the complexity. And actually, I think sharing that information with our patients who are living with obesity can be really effective. You know, I've sometimes found when you're engaging in that conversation, actually acknowledging to that person, no, I understand this is a chronic condition that you're living with. I understand it's not as easy as, you know, moving more and eating less. You know, I understand why you've had, you know, times when you've lost weight, but you've regained it. And I think sharing that understanding, you suddenly see this relief in that person's eyes, that you know, you're acknowledging that actually this is a lifelong problem that they're living with.
Absolutely. And that's a really important point about sharing and appreciating the journey a patient has been on. And it's really important in primary care, or really in any sphere of medical practice, that we're non-judgmental and supportive. Patients who have suffered from obesity will have gone on very difficult journeys, and there will be many associated psychological symptoms and distress that they're suffering. So it's really important that we acknowledge that and give patients that support and time. And certainly there's some benefit of making appointments further ahead for these patients, not just trying to deal with this within 10 minutes. It's impossible to deal with a complex situation like obesity in 10 minutes. And it's really important to give patients the adequate time that it deserves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thinking of it, I suppose, more like a chronic condition review, like, you know, diabetes or hypertension or COPD. So I suppose, Kash, one of the challenges we have in primary care sometimes is having that initial conversation. So say, for example, I'm seeing a person who's struggling with bilateral knee pain. You know, and they're living with a high BMI, they've got, you know, high level obesity. Sometimes if I initially go in there and say, right, we need to tackle your weight, here's the problem. Actually, that can risk damaging that therapeutic relationship with that person, because all she cares about is my weight. You know, she's my knees are bad because of my weight. That's all she wants to focus on. So how do we go about in that initial conversation and raising the matter in a supportive and empathetic fashion? Very challenging sometimes.
Absolutely, and I agree wholeheartedly. It's important to be very sensitive about this. And one of the things that's really, you know, quite useful in this situation is to ask permission to discuss someone's weight, or if it's a condition like osteoarthritis of the knee, then maybe asking permission to talk about the weight, which may be an important factor in the symptoms. I really like the Canadian network. The Canadian Obesity Network have the 5 A's approach to obesity management, and that's something I really talk to a lot of my colleagues about. And the first A is ask, and that stands for ask for permission to discuss weight. People may have come in with a different symptom, or were not planning to discuss their weight, and as we've mentioned, that there's sometimes a lot of psychological distress or emotional baggage that people will carry with their weight. And if they're not prepared to talk about their weight, then it can become, you know, counterproductive. And as you know, we've already mentioned that obesity management is a long-term partnership with the patient, and you don't want to get that partnership off on the wrong foot.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, if the person then, you know, is obviously not wanting to talk about weight, then that's the right time to back off, but perhaps leave the door open. Absolutely. You know, if this is something you want to talk to me about another time, you know, I understand about, you know, support for managing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the key thing, is that, you know, being that support for patients. And also, it may be that they might not be prepared to talk about that, about their weight in that situation, but at least then they'll be aware that you will be able to support them or signpost them to further support and help in the future if they are ready to take that journey.
It's one of the beauties of primary care, isn't it? That longitudinal relationship with people. You know, I've been a partner for 10 years in my practice now, and, you know, you really see people through their life's journey and build that therapeutic relationship. So actually, I think we're best placed in primary care to have and raise these difficult conversations and to provide that ongoing support.
I agree 100%. We know our patients, that, you know, better than any other clinician, and we do have that opportunity to look at obesity over several consultations, and certainly to treat this condition over many different episodes rather than just on the single episode that we might be used to dealing with in an acute setting.
Okay, great. So say we've raised the conversation and the person absolutely wants that support, and, you know, we've built that therapeutic relationship to have the discussion. Where do we start? You know, is it a matter of you know, sharing that understanding of what obesity is? And then how do we start to signpost that person? You know, is it with, you know, basic nutrition therapy that we can give? Is it referral on? Is it increased levels of exercise? Where would you begin?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think one of the first things I tend to do is really just assess the patient and talk about the risks or the causes of, you know, that have led to their weight gain. And there might be some reversible causes. Sometimes it can be medication. Sometimes it can be a recent illness, or in some instances, it could be an injury that has led them to become less active. So assessing and looking for any obvious reversible causes is really important. And then you're quite right, moving on to advice. Where do we start? I think the important thing is to let the patient know that there are going to be options and they're not alone, because it has been, in many instances, a lonely journey for them. So I tend to signpost patients initially to appropriate websites. For example, in Scotland, we have our NHS Inform website, which has a basic dietary lifestyle plans for patients to access. It may also be that they can self-refer to the local exercise referral scheme, or possibly to the dietitian for basic level of nutritional advice and support. And once you've assessed the patient and you've determined that they may be suitable for local weight management services, you may be able to discuss referral at that stage too. Patients are, you're quite right, coming in with their perception of what might work for them. So it's really important to be, you know, very supportive and listen to what they've already tried and what they feel might work for them, because in some instances, what they have tried just requires a little bit more support and encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. And that support feels to me like a big factor in the likelihood of success for many of my patients. And often that support can come from a multidisciplinary team setting, can't it? So we're talking here about MDT, weight management clinic type approaches. How do I decide which patients are best suited for that, I suppose, more complex and bigger intervention? You know, I know many places there is a lack of access, isn't there, in some areas, and mixed access in others, in terms of which people can access the sort of tier three weight management services and beyond. What's your experience in terms of access to them, and which patients are best suited to that sort of higher level of intervention?
You're quite right, and there is a variation across the country, and even within Scotland, as a small country, we see variation across different health boards.
Yeah, so, Wales as well, Cash. Absolutely, even in Wales, across the different health boards, north to south, huge differences in access to services.
And that does make things difficult, because people will talk to friends and family across the country, and they will have different levels of access to treatments, and that can make our jobs very difficult. So in terms of who would be suitable for MDT, certainly those who are at highest risk. So we know that those with a BMI over 35 with a comorbidity, or those over a BMI of 40 without a comorbidity, are at significantly higher risks of complications. Equally, there may be those at a lower BMI, those above 30 with comorbidities like poorly controlled diabetes or, you know, cardiovascular disease. So it's really important to recognize what your local referral criteria are, and discuss that with the patients. Patients by and large, will benefit from an MDT approach. But it really needs to be sold to them, because sometimes they're not expecting this. And in the past, what I've done is when I've thought I've referred patients to the MDT, they've been re-triaged to a tier two level service, and that's not been something that they were expecting. And some of these tier two approaches are group sessions. And again, it may be useful to ask your patient, would that be something that they would consider? Or if they would want to consider a one-to-one approach, then that needs to be identified and discussed with the weight management service.
Yeah, that's a great point. And perhaps we need to be explicit in our referral if the person has expressed a wish not to be in that group service. Because sometimes, particularly, as you say, if there's psychological deep-rooted issues there, the group sort of approach might be, you know, a negative experience for that person. Absolutely. So I think, you know, we have to get on to a real hot topic here, Cash, you know, and that is the role of emergence of medication for managing obesity. So, you know, there has been medications before, hasn't there, over the years of very mixed success. One would say, and very limited options over recent years that we have been able to recommend for our patients. But of course, sort of hot in the news at the moment are these high dose GLP-1 agonists. So we're very familiar, of course, with this group of medications for managing type 2 diabetes, but we've now got two that are licensed in the management of obesity, both with and without type 2 diabetes, haven't we? And, I know almost every person listening who's working in primary care will have had a consultation in the last month or so from a person asking if they can have this treatment. You know, it's huge across the media, isn't it? And of course, it's become particularly hot at the moment because we've had NICE technology appraisals. So a little while ago now of high-dose liraglutide, Saxenda, and most recently of high-dose semaglutide, Wegovy, in terms of where they can be used, for whom they should be used, and indeed for how long they can be used. So I wonder, Cash, if you can just talk to that rather hot topic to us for a moment, and where on earth are we and what's our role in primary care here?
Yeah, no, this is a real hot topic. And I think it wasn't helped by there was a joke, I think, during the Oscar ceremony where the host had joked about people using Ozempic in the toilets during the ceremony. And there's also some talk about the Kardashians having used Ozempic as well. And I must say off license, because Ozempic is used primarily for type 2 diabetes. But you're right. I think if we go back to the data, we've got some really useful data here in terms of both liraglutide and now semaglutide. These are very effective. In particular, semaglutide is very effective in helping people lose weight. It's a drug that we've been using for years in type 2 diabetes, and the popularity now of using it in obesity has had a knock-on effect on supply issues, as we both have probably dealt with over the past few months. And that's a real concern, because patients with type 2 diabetes are struggling to get hold of semaglutide or Ozempic because it's being so widely used. So yes, I think many people will ask about injection or injectable treatments, and they are very effective, but we do need to be conscious that there are side effects, and not everyone is going to be appropriate for this type of treatment. So, and I think where it's placed, quite rightly, as NICE has advocated in their approach, that it should be prescribed through a weight management service. It needs that MDT approach. It also needs regular follow-up with dietetic and nutritional support. Yes, it is controversial that they've recommended it in a very, very narrow period, and that's people with a BMI of at least 35 with a comorbidity. And also those between 30 and 34.9 that meet the criteria to a specialist weight management service. So it's not going to be for everyone in terms of the NHS approach to using semaglutide, but it will be very useful for some patients. It's also been recommended for a maximum of 2 years, and we've already talked about obesity being a long-term chronic disease, and we wouldn't stop GLP-1 after 2 years in a patient with diabetes. So you could argue that may be unfair for patients living and dealing with obesity. However, we do have to be conscious these are very expensive drugs, and there needs to be some standoff of how and long you prescribe these medications. So I think it's really exciting. We've got new approaches in terms of medication, but I think it needs to be done very sensibly through weight management services, and these patients will need to be followed up very regularly. And I should also add that there is another group of medications that's a combination of GIP and GLP-1. We've seen tirzepatide show some really exciting data in terms of obesity and weight management, and that's something for the future as well. But again, it's one of many options that patients have to accept that might not be appropriate for everyone, but it's certainly something that they may wish to consider.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely. Not forgetting, you know, the basics and our role in primary care and engagement and empathy, you know, and basic signposting and ongoing support, nutrition advice, dietetics and so on. It's essentially going to be another tool in our armory, isn't it, to help support the right patient where it's suited for people living with obesity. I think, you know, we're nearing the end of our time, Cash. I know there's lots more that we could chat about this, that's for sure. But I know that you are going to be covering more around the management of obesity, particularly perhaps looking at the medications and a bit more of a deep dive during your chronic conditions obesity session. Is that right?
That's correct. So please tune in for that. And yes, I think this is an exciting time in obesity management, as it is with general chronic disease management, in particular type 2 diabetes and obesity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Plenty for us to go at, that is for sure. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having this discussion with Cash today. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I hope you found this podcast really helpful. Do make sure that you register on the Chronic Conditions website so that you can listen to the other podcasts in this series as well. And of course, don't forget to join our interactive webcast. Both Cash and myself will be running those, myself about diabetes and Cash about obesity. So plenty more for you to join us for. And that's brought to you as part of Chronic Conditions Month 2023. And you can sign up at chronicconditions.co.uk. Thanks very much, Cash. It's been an absolute pleasure and look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for your support and speak to you soon.
Bye all.